On the wall of the little house used to hang a painting of a little girl in a yellow dress, sitting and looking sideways. It had the title printed under it, The Age of Innocence. Jackie used to scorn that picture, that little girl. Innocent. An age of innocence. Nobody was innocent, except maybe babies. That girl was probably just as guilty as anybody else, in spite of the yellow dress. And a whole age of innocence? As if you're good up to a certain age and then get naughty? Patsy had been younger than that girl, when she'd leaned over and bitten Jackie on the arm, hard, for no reason at all, when they'd been sitting together on the stairs. Craig had been younger than that little girl, when he'd suddenly pushed Jackie off the flat roof of the milk house, when they'd been standing together up there. Luckily, she'd fallen in the middle of a lilac bush, and not onto the ground. Though even then, she'd been badly scratched. Certainly Craig and Patsy weren't innocent, even at an early age. It's not until Jackie is nearly 11 that she realizes what that picture is talking about. It's March at Chez Nous. It's nippy and blowy outside. The others stay in the house after they walk up the lane from school. But Jackie gets into her jeans and goes out to the barn. The barn at Chez Nous doesn't have a rhythm like the round barn, for no milking cows are kept here. Its rhythm is an erratic one. When somebody roars up in the farm truck to feed the heifers and young cows. The barn is not cleaned daily. There are stanchions, but the stock aren't closed into them. They wander loose in the barn's midsection. Although Jackie likes the barn as a place, usually no work of interest is going on in it. But today, she's noticed that a strange car is parked out by the barn. The barn door is open. She goes in. A man she doesn't know is kneeling on the cement floor. He has newspapers spread out, and a little suitcase is open on the newspapers. The equipment looks like a vet's. A container of small bottles, a glass tube, full buckets of antiseptic smelling water. She looks around. Sure enough, a lone cow is standing in a box stall. The man looks up and smiles. Hello. Hello, says Jackie. What are you doing? Are you a new vet? No, says the man. I'm the artificial inseminator. I'm about to inseminate a cow. My name is Amos. Well, Jackie has never heard the term inseminator before. It sounds interesting. My name is Jackie, she says. Do you mind if I watch? Not at all, says the man. Are you Ron Dogan's daughter? Yes, says Jackie. What does an inseminator do? Amos indicates the little case of bottles on the floor. There's semen in those bottles. Bull semen. Well, that's another word Jackie doesn't know. Semen? The man sits back on his heels. I'll explain everything as I go along, he says. First, I'm here because that cow is ready to have her first calf. Jackie looks critically at the cow. She's barely more than a heifer. She doesn't look fat enough, she says dubiously. Amos laughs. She's not freshened yet. She's not ready to conceive a calf, for a calf to start growing in her. Her body is ready. She's in heat. Oh, says Jackie. What's heat? Look at her vulva, says Amos. There, under her anus. You'll see blood. Jackie looks. She's never heard the names of cow parts before, even though she's often watched their functioning. But from the urine slit under the puckered BM hole issues a thin thread of blood. It trails down the cow's rear end. She realizes she's seen blood on cows before, all her life. Usually at least one cow in the round barn has blood, and there is sometimes blood in the gutter or in the barnyard, where the ooze from the manure pile has a bloody tint. It was just something that happened to cows some of the time. Part of the way things were in the round barn. Now she's surprised that she never wondered why. Amos goes on. When we see the blood, we know the cow's body is ready to receive the bull and have a calf. Up until recently, we'd take her to the bull then, or bring him to her, and he'd inseminate her, breed her.
Oh, says Jackie. How?
Well, you know that big sack that hangs between a bull's hind legs, the scrotum?
Jackie nods.
Well, it's got two testicles in it, big as apples, and they produce semen. Semen means seed. There are millions of sperm in every drop of seminal fluid, and it takes only one sperm to combine with one ovum of a cow, one egg.
Cows have eggs?
Well, yes, says Amos. He sits down on the barn floor. Jackie sits down, too. It's becoming a long and complicated conversation. But they don't lay 'em like hens. The eggs are almost microscopic. And when a sperm joins with one deep inside the cow, then it's a fertilized egg. And it plants itself in the cow's uterus, her womb, and grows into a calf. And when the calf is ready, it gets born.
Oh.
Jackie ponders. But how does the bull get his sperm to the egg? He mounts her from behind and thrusts his penis into her. You know what a penis is?
Jackie nods.
She does know that. She's seen Craig and Daddy and male dogs and bulls and horses. They all pee with their penises. And she's seen naked statues at the art hall down at the college throwing discuses and things, although most of them wear a leaf. Well, the bull shoots his semen in with his penis. It's called an ejaculation.
Jackie is astounded.
More than urine comes out of penises. Cows have eggs. The world is filled with marvels.
How does he know to do it? Mount the cow.
The smell of the cow when she's in heat. It makes him want to.
Oh.
Jackie watches. Amos takes out a long rubber glove, talcs his arm, and puts the glove on up to his shoulder. He soaps the glove. Then he takes a long glass tube and draws semen from the bottle into the tube. The tube has a plunger. It's a syringe. The semen is tea-colored. Now, open the stall for me, he instructs. Jackie does. Amos stands at the rear of the cow and crowds her close to the side of the stall. First I'm going to put my arm down her anus, Amos says. He works his fingers around the cow's BM hole and then pushes his hand and arm in. The cow startles. Her eyes bug. She tries to lunge. Jackie recoils. She'd hate it, too, if she were a cow. Amos leans against the cow and presses her against the edge of the stall, forcing her to stand still. His arm is in the cow's anus almost up to his shoulder. She stands, eyes bulged, back arched. I did that so my fingers can guide the tube to the proper place, Amos explains. The intestinal wall is right next to the wall of the vagina. I can feel the tube through the membranes and position it right at the mouth of the uterus. He takes the glass tube and threads it into the cow's vulva. He works it gently in, like a long rectal thermometer, till the whole length of it is inside the cow. Then he presses the plunger, pulls out the empty tube, and pulls out his sheathed arm. He sets the tube in one bucket, rinses off the manure with cloth from the other, then peels off the dripping glove inside out and lays it on the newspaper. There, says Amos. What else do you want to know about this whole process?
Now she'll have a calf? Jackie asks.
Well, 100 million sperm are going to try their darndest, but sometimes she doesn't settle, doesn't conceive. The first time, and then I have to come back.
That'll be the next time she comes in heat, about a month. If she conceives, she won't come in heat again till sometime after the calf's born. He starts putting away his equipment.
But why? Jackie asks. Why do you bother? We have a bull. Isn't it easier with a bull?
Amos pauses. Well, this is all pretty new, he says. Our Rock County Breeders Cooperative is only the second one in the whole country. We began a couple of months after one in New Jersey did. But it's going to revolutionize cattle breeding all over the world. Because now, every little scrub cow in every poor farmer's barn, giving only a little bit of milk, can have a calf from one of the very best bulls in the country. And because of that bull's superior traits passed on to her, the daughter will give more milk than her dam. Her calf will be a better milker yet, better than her mother. The daughters down the generations will keep on getting better and better. Milk production, or whatever we're breeding for, will go up and up. It's awfully exciting. Your dad knows all about it. He's on the board that hired me. Ask him for more details.
I will, promises Jackie. She finds it exciting, too. She hurries into the kitchen. Mother is peeling potatoes.
I found out just now how calves get born, Jackie says. It takes an egg and a sperm, and the bull puts the sperm in the cow with his penis. Except Amos will do it now with a glass tube. He's the artificial inseminator. All our calves will have prize bulls for fathers and get to be better and better milkers.
Well, I thought you knew all about that, Mother says, astonished.
How could I? This is the first time I ever saw Amos here.
No, about how calves or rabbits or babies or anything is made, the egg and the sperm.
Well, where you came from. Haven't you read the book?
What book?
Mother lays down her potato and goes and gets the copy of Growing Up out of a bookcase. Jackie has seen the book all her life. It's by some doctor. She's even opened it a few times, but never read beyond the second page. You can tell immediately that the writing isn't a story, and the pictures are in brown and white. She's never read a good book yet where the pictures are in brown and white. And Joan and Patsy never once recommended she read it, or said that there was anything interesting in it about eggs and sperms.
I never read it, says Jackie. It looks boring.
And after all the pets we've had, Mother is incredulous.
Well, I thought we'd talked.
I guess we better have a talk now.
No, we don't need to.
Amos told me everything.
Everything?
About people, as well as cows? Did he tell you about menstruation?
What?
Oh, well, then he didn't tell you. It's bleeding every month.
Yes, he did tell me. That's when the cow's in heat.
An apprehension grips her.
But people?
They don't come in heat, do they?
No.
Oh, good, says Jackie, relieved. She hadn't liked the idea of that. Thin thread of blood.
But then Mother tells her about menstruation. It seems to be the same as heat, for there's bleeding, and more than a thin thread.
But just the opposite, because the menstrual period is the time when you can't conceive a baby. Menstruation is the blood that builds up in the uterus to feed the baby, Mother tells her. Then, when no fertile egg comes, it sloughs off. All the rest of the time you can have a baby, if the sperm comes. Your body is ready and waiting.
Jackie's appalled.
She learns Joan has already menstruated. She's just 14. Imagine, Joan could have a baby. Patsy has not yet begun at 12 and a half. She, Jackie, will begin when she's old enough, maybe 12, more likely 13 or 14, sometimes even older. There are special things to wear. Absorbent cotton pads that you throw away. Nobody needs to know. You can do almost everything normally, except go swimming. Some people say it's your sick time, but it isn't at all. There's nothing sick about it. It's perfectly normal.
Jackie feels ill already. She starts to turn off her mind.
It's a nuisance, says Mother, picking up her half-peeled potato. But it's only once a month. And it happens to all of us women. And if it didn't, we couldn't have babies. So when you're a little older, I'll have Kotex for you and a belt in your drawer, and you'll know it's perfectly normal, nothing to be alarmed about. Not like Grandma.
Grandma? Jackie turns her ears on again. What about Grandma?
Well, you know, she was a 10th child.
Jackie nods.
And her next sister up, Kate, was a year older than she was.
Jackie nods.
Well, Grandma told me that her mother never told her anything. And when she was 12, she started to bleed. She was frightened to death. She hid it for 3 days. She stuffed her under drawers with newspapers and got more and more terrified when the bleeding didn't quit. She was sure she was dying. And finally, she couldn't stand it any longer, and she told her mother,
your great-grandmother.
And all her mother said was, you beat Kate.
What?
Cried Jackie.
That's all?
You beat Kate, repeats Mother. No explanations, no nothing. Oh, she fixed her up properly with special rags. Women had to use rags then, wash them out. So did I at the start. Jackie feels a rush of pity for her poor grandma as a little girl, without any Amos to tell her anything, without Mother. For 3 whole days thinking she was dying. She decides since it's inevitable, she's glad Mother has told her. It would be horrible to have all that blood come as a surprise. She ventures one more comment.
But what the bull does?
It must be awful for the cow, Mother laughs.
Oh, the cow likes it.
Really? She didn't like what Amos did. She tried to get away.
Well, Amos isn't a bull.
If cows didn't like it and bulls didn't like it, there wouldn't be any calves, or puppies, or kittens, or bear cubs, or babies. It's really very pleasant. Nature's made it that way.
Really?
Really. Jackie grabs a handful of cookies and goes outside. She calls the dog and heads down toward the gully. She doesn't see the weeds, the leaves. She's lost in thought. Her mind is boggled, reeling with new information. She realizes she actually knows a lot of it before, that every animal had to have a mother and a father, for instance, but she just never put it all together. She could have, but she didn't. Now it all fits in place. The girl in the yellow dress, that's what she's innocent about. Not what she doesn't do, but what she doesn't know. And the Virgin Mary. She'd never been bred till God bred her with Jesus, and that didn't count. And Mother and Daddy, imagine. Daddy must have done to Mother what the bull does to the cow. She can't picture it. She's reluctant even to think about it, yet her mind insists. He must have done it 4 times. To breed her and Joan and Patsy and Craig. Grandpa only had to do it 3 times. And she tries to keep her mind from making the leap, but it's already over the gully. Herself? Someday? It's unimaginable. She couldn't let any boy or man. How embarrassing. How... Yet, in order to get married... Have babies. She kicks at the tawny grass in the hickory woods. She mustn't grow up. Then there will be no problem. But she can't help growing up. It's like menstruation. It's inevitable. But still, now, with science thinking up all these things, couldn't it work with people? Her husband could have a glass tube. She tries to push the thought of people out of her mind. She tries to stick to cows, but people keep crowding in. She stands among the hickory trees on the edge of the gully. Lassie sits down. She pats her. The hillside across the gully is so dark she can scarcely see the beehives. She chews on her last cookie, thoughtfully. A star winks out. She looks at it, draws a deep breath. There's really nothing at all that can be done. But why is she worrying? Babies, they're a long, long time away yet. And menstruation, that's a long time away, too. At least 2 years, maybe longer. Comfortable distance. She doesn't have to be anxious about that yet, either. Except for... She reflects on her sister. What if Patsy is slow to start? And she herself is early. What if she beats Patsy, like Grandma did Kate? Now wouldn't that be a big fat jip? She fixes a vengeful eye on the pin prick of light in the pale sky and starts in on the familiar chant. She has challenge in her voice. Star light, star bright, first star I've seen tonight.